email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
This is exciting. At 11 minutes past 6 in the morning on the 22nd of April, SpaceX Crew 2 mission will blast off from Pad 39A at the Kennedy Space Center. And our next guest, Commander Shane Kimbrough, will be on board. How are you doing, Shane?
Good morning, Ray. Doing well, thank you.
Good to talk to you. Do you get butterflies in your stomach when you hear that?
No, it's exciting. We're getting close to launch and we're all ready to go. Thanks.
Yeah. So this is sort of a public-private partnership, as we described them here, this side of the Atlantic, because SpaceX is Elon Musk's company. And of course, NASA is a government-funded agency. So this is your first flight mission of this type.
Yeah, that's correct. It's a third mission ever on SpaceX's as a human. So, yeah, we look forward to being, as you mentioned, called Crew 2. There was a test flight, and then there was Crew 1, and now we're Crew 2, the third mission. We're actually flying on the same spacecraft that we're test flight.
You're still there. You're breaking up there. Hello? No. We've lost Shane. Dare I say it. Houston, we have a problem. Oh, you're there. You're back.
I'm back,
right? Okay. You can get a man on the moon. You can fly them up to the International Space Station, but you can't talk to us on the radio. Anyway, we'll keep going and see how we go. So prior to this, you would have launched out of, is it Kazakhstan?
Correct. Yeah, my last flight, I launched out of Kazakhstan with the Russians on their Soyuz spacecraft. And before that, I launched on the Space Shuttle Endeavour out of the Kennedy Space Center.
Yeah. And just in, give me that answer. You're sort of outlining how you're quite unique in America in that you've been in space on three different crafts.
Yeah, it's, somebody just mentioned that to us recently, and that's obviously quite an honor. I don't think I've completely understand what that means yet, but once we get home, I'm sure that'll all sink in.
Yeah.
To be the only living American that's flown three different spacecraft. There's been two others, John Young and Wally Schirra, back in the Gemini and Apollo days and shuttle days. But yeah, it's pretty cool. One of my other crewmates, a Japanese astronaut, Aki Hoshide, will also be flying his third spacecraft with me. So that'll be pretty cool to do that feat with him.
You were sort of destined to be an astronaut, Shane, weren't you?
Well, I definitely had a few things going for me. My grandparents lived right across from the Kennedy Space Center, and I spent a lot of time as a young child down there with them. And my grandfather really was the motivator there and helped me get inspired about wanting to do something in the space business.
Yeah. And was your dad in the military?
My dad was in the military. He was a pilot, and I followed in his footsteps, going that career path as well, and then got fortunate enough kind of mid-career in the Army to come be a NASA astronaut.
Yeah. People have watched a lot of documentaries and dramas and movies about space travel now. I think people are a lot more sort of educated about it. Do you find that when you're talking to people?
You know, I certainly find that when I'm talking to people in Europe, the Europeans seem to be very in tune with what's going on in space. And it's really exciting when we're over there, especially in your country. Everybody's very excited.
Yeah.
Here in the U.S., it's a little different. Even in the local area where we live, a lot of people don't know a lot about space. So it's kind of interesting. But we're trying to get that word out when we get a chance. With COVID, we haven't had the chance over the past year to go out to the schools and things to talk, but generally we do that quite a bit to try to educate the general public.
So let's stay on your space trajectory. See what I did there, Shane? So you went into military school and then you went to flight school, and you were an Apache helicopter pilot.
Correct.
Yeah, and where did you serve time?
So my first assignment right after I finished flight school was I got deployed to Saudi Arabia for Operation Desert Shield and Desert Storm back in the early 90s. As some of you may remember. So that was an interesting first assignment. It's kind of being thrown right into it, but really I learned a lot about people, about how to fly the aircraft and apply the weapon systems and things like that. So that was really a great assignment. Then I came back to, I was stationed in Savannah, Georgia, which is where my unit was from for a few years. And then I went to Fort Bragg, North Carolina, where I was fortunate enough to command a couple companies there, one an Apache company, And so that was a great job before I kind of stepped out of the mainstream Army, then went to graduate school. And then I went and was an instructor at West Point for a few years and then came to NASA.
So you're a retired, what rank were you?
Retired colonel, Army colonel.
Retired colonel, right, Army colonel. Right. And what age were you when you retired?
Ooh, you're going to make me do some math in public here. I was around 48 when I retired.
Okay. And would that be common enough?
Yeah, I spent almost 26 years in the Army. So, you know, that's a full career. I could still technically be in the Army if I didn't want to retire. I could just still be an active duty astronaut that's in the Army.
Yeah.
But we decided it was the right time to do that a few years ago. And so now I get a retirement check and then I get my check from NASA. So it's
nice.
Financially a little more sense for us.
Yeah. And when you say we, it's you and your wife, is it?
Yes. And our three children. So we have a wonderful family and obviously it's, you know, what I'm doing is not free. I understand it's a huge sacrifice for my family to watch me sit on the launch pad and launch on sitting on top of a bomb pretty much and going up and then, spending a lot of time away from them. So it's not easy on us. It's very difficult to be separated and I don't take that lightly.
And I was watching the documentary on the shuttle, the space shuttle recently in, Columbia. And you flew in the space shuttle after the Columbia disaster. Hello?
Yeah. Correct. We did fly. I did fly after the Columbia. Is that what you're getting
at? Yes. Yeah. And I'm just wondering how that felt because that was such, a public, horrible disaster. So many people died in it. And then you're the next crew to man it. That must have been a scary prospect.
Yeah. You know, it's we weren't the very next crew. We were several after that.
Oh,
but
sorry,
I was
sorry.
Here when that happened. And so, of course, they were our friends. They were people I knew. And that's the hard part of it. But honestly, we wanted to fly even more after that just to honor them and to do, what they were not able to do, unfortunately, and that's get to space. And I got to actually take some memorabilia from the wreckage from that flight to honor them and take it to space. And it was a football.
Right.
I don't know if you saw that from my last
flight. I did. Yeah. I saw that. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So that was really special for me to take something from that flight.
Yeah. You've been just short of 189 days in space. Which is a phenomenal number of days. And just the things you witness. I was watching a lovely 15-minute video from your last trip, which was 2017, 2018, was it around then?
Right.
The things you see up there must change you as a person.
You know, a lot of the things that my belief system before I went up there for that long, they were just reiterated and just kind of amplified. So that was great. But yeah, there are a few things that definitely change. It makes me, when I came back to Earth, I definitely wanted to take care of our planet, more than I had thought about before. I want to visit places that maybe I'd never thought about visiting before just because they're spectacular from the vantage point of space. And that's, it's not these nice resorts or anything. It's like deserts and kind of random places that I want to go see just because they were so beautiful from above.
You said your belief system as well. So go on, expand on that for me.
Yeah. So I'm certainly a man of faith and, seeing it, seeing planet Earth from somewhat of God's eye view, so to speak, is pretty special. It's very humbling. It made me appreciate everything we have here on planet Earth. And we're just all protected by a thin layer of atmosphere that we had the perspective of seeing from up there. And again, that's very humbling to know that that's all that's keeping us alive down here on Earth. So we want to protect that. And hopefully I can relay that to other folks as well so that we can all take care of the only planet that we have to live on.
Spacewalks are fascinating. And so many dramatic scenes have been sort of written around spacewalks in movies. That's when you leave the station or the spaceship or whatever, and you have to go out and fix something or that. And you did four on your last mission, did you?
Correct. Yeah, I've done six total, but four on my last mission, correct.
Right. Talk us through that, Shane. that's just beyond my comprehension.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, obviously, like you alluded to, of leaving a perfectly good spacecraft to go outside to do some work. And a lot of times, like you said, we're repairing things that are broken. A lot of times we're installing new pieces of equipment that have come up to enhance the space station. So Again, when you're doing something that's that you know is part of something way bigger than yourself and helping out the entire space station and the space program, it obviously makes you feel good. It's, again, humbling, and it's a lot of hard work. The stakes are very high when you send somebody outside, and we certainly don't take it lightly. We rehearse, we train over and over and over for hours before we do that and go outside. We always go outside in pairs, as you probably are aware, for safety, first of all. But we'll get a lot more work done with two people out there. And we can't put three out because the airlock that we send people out of can't hold three people. So we're always out in pairs. We're very well trained by our folks on the ground. There's nothing that can simulate the real thing, of course. So the first time you go outside and do a spacewalk, you kind of got to take the first hour or so to get your senses about you and see, you know, what it's really like to go out there, because you don't want to wear yourself out, which is kind of the typical thing that a first timer does.
Oh, there you go. Hello. Still there, Shane?
I'm here.
Yeah, you're there. I'm just wondering about your heart rate. Would people back at base be constantly monitoring your heart rate?
Yeah, when we go outside for spacewalks, we are monitored the whole time.
Right.
That's great. And we have what we call flight surgeons or doctors that are monitoring things like that for us. And, you know, most of us, especially the first 30 minutes to an hour, you're pretty jacked up. You're ready to go. And then you settle down and then you just kind of get to work. And that's kind of the standard for anybody, no matter how many times you've been outside. It does not get routine.
All right. Okay. Yeah. Because I was wondering if you have learned strategies and tactics to control your heart rate.
I'm a pretty calm guy overall. I think there's not a lot that excites me. So I think that helps me in this regard. A lot of that comes from my military training, not necessarily training here at NASA, but we have a lot of different personalities, and a lot of people are more excitable than I am that are my colleagues. And it's kind of fun to watch them, but then have to kind of manage them early on, especially on a spacewalk, because we have consumables like oxygen and things like that we only have a certain amount of when you go outside. So if you're working too hard, if you're too excited, then those things run out quicker than you want. So, people that monitor that, and it just means your spacewalk will be a little shorter than maybe you wanted it to.
Right. My name is Dylan Higgins. Our texter says, I'm 7 years old and living in Limerick. I love everything about space and would love to be an astronaut just like you one day, Shane. Can I ask, at what speed does the space shuttle fly? This is the space station. He means fly through space when you're inside.
Yeah, it goes really fast. It goes around the Earth every 90 minutes. So that's about 32,000 kilometers per hour that it's moving. So it's pretty incredible. We see a sunrise or a sunset every 45 minutes. So we get 16 of those every day. Pretty incredible.
And does that mess with your, what do you call, your circadian rhythm?
You know, it would if there were a lot of windows up there, but we don't. I think they did that on purpose. They didn't give us a lot of windows because we probably wouldn't get any work done. We'd just be staring out the window all day. But, you know, we do have this one module called the cupola, which is all windows that faces Earth all the time. And that's a really great, call it kind of a hideout that we do. At the end of the day, when you're done with your work, you kind of go hang out in there and literally watch the Earth go by in 90 minutes.
It's an exciting time to be involved in space travel because you have Elon Musk involved and also Richard Branson is sort of involved. You know, there's a lot of money swilling around the place. And of course, Mars is getting closer in that, you know, it's, you know, Endurance, was that the name of it? Endurance landed there and all sorts of things.
Perseverance, yep.
Yeah. So do you think that in your lifetime, there will be a human on Mars?
Yeah, absolutely. We're certainly, you know, the goal for NASA, long-term goal, and I know SpaceX is looking at putting humans on Mars as well, but NASA's, we have a vehicle called Orion that's going to go to the moon here in a few years and use that as a stepping stone for getting to Mars in the next few decades. So it's really exciting. Right now, it's literally impossible to send a human to Mars, but we, with our international partners, and people like SpaceX and other private companies are going to work together to make that impossible feat currently something that's possible here in just a few decades.
And why? Why do we want to get to Mars, Shane?
I think Mars, I mean, you've probably seen a lot in the news, but a lot of it is saying there's a lot of things out there that are unknown, of course, and we always want to explore the unknown.
Right.
Mars has a lot of great minerals and things that these rovers are showing us that we potentially could mine and use those for fuel and for water and for things that people need to survive. So it's kind of the next great frontier, right? We always want to go do the next thing and see what's out there. And I think we as humans want to go explore the planet Mars, because maybe it used to look like Earth. And if it did, then what happened to make it, you know, uninhabitable at this current time? And maybe we can help ourselves as a planet learn that and prevent it from happening to our planet.
Okay. Will you ask Shane how he deals with an itchy nose when he's in a spacesuit? Sam wants to know.
That's an excellent question, because it happens a lot. But once you get that, say you're going out on a spacewalk, and the spacewalk's usually about 6.5-7 hours long, and you're in the spacesuit a couple hours before you go out. So literally you have about 10 hours where you can't touch your face. And that kind of freaks a lot of people out when I say that, but that's the situation we're in. So if you have an itch, or if you start sweating, which happens quite a bit when you're working hard outside, it's going to run down your face and you can't really do anything about it. So you kind of got a few tricks. You can kind of move your head around a little bit to try to maybe scratch that itch on your you have a water kind of tube that sticks up by your chin. And you can kind of use that sometimes to scratch if it's on your nose. But other times you just have to deal with it and move on.
Okay, final question, which I ask all astronauts. Do you think there is life out there? Alien life.
Yeah, I've certainly never seen any aliens. Everybody wants to know that. But maybe there's some other life form, you know, that's way out of our solar system that, you know, one of these days we'll get a chance to explore
the
out
Ray
there.
Darcy Show.
Hopefully in my lifetime, but maybe not. And we can find other living beings out there. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, good luck on SpaceX Crew 2 mission, which launches on the 22nd of April. Shane Kimbrough, astronaut, thanks for taking time out to talk to us today. Thanks, Shane.
My pleasure. Hope you guys can follow the mission. Thank you.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.